Well, we are on core number three of the core four. First one was living in Christ, knowing who you are, what you have, what you can do. Last week was living by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's this week. Sorry. Last week was living by faith. Remember that faith is a conviction, it's a confidence, a trust, it's a belief. It's being fully persuaded in God, and if you're fully persuaded in God, you'll be fully persuaded in His Word. And we said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that faith was in two places. Where are the two places? In your heart and in your mouth. We talked about not being double-minded and not wavering in what God has for you. So this week we want to talk about living by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Has anybody here ever heard of Ivan Boesky? Really gives your age if you know who that is. Maybe you've heard of Gordon Gekko. I remember Michael Douglas played Gordon Gekko in the movie Wall Street. That was based on Ivan Boesky's life. And Ivan Boesky was famous in the 80s for becoming very wealthy from mergers and acquisitions. And it was based on junk bonds and things like that, that they were using really risky investments. And there were some of these deals that he would make $65 million, $70 million off of one deal. That's a pretty good deal, huh? So, I mean, his wealth increased by hundreds of millions of dollars in the 80s and became, you know, famous, known for that. There's only one problem. A lot of it he got by illegal means and did what's called insider trading. He'd have people on the inside of these deals that once he made the deal, he would give them millions of dollars for their information. So he would have news before it happened. And so it was that they eventually found out that one of the guys that he was working with told on him, and he was ended up being used by the government to help bring down a lot of, you know, four or five different people. They were like making even more money than he was. So it was called insider trading, insider information. And did you know that there's inside information for us today that's legal? We can have some legal, interested in hearing about that, some legal inside information. I love the story over in 2 Kings. And let's read that from the Message Bible. And if you want to just follow along, you can. And I love this. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 says this. One time when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, after consulting with his officers, he said, "At such and such a place, I want an ambush set." The holy man, talking about Elisha, sent a message to the king of Israel, "Watch out when you're passing this place, because Aram has set an ambush there." So the king of Israel sent word concerning the place of which the holy man had warned him. You know, and he says, this kind of thing happened all the time. The king of Aram was furious over all this. He called his officers together and said, "Tell me, who is leaking information to the king of Israel? Who is the spy in our ranks?" But one of the men said, "No, my master, dear king, it's not any of us. It's Elisha, the prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom." And they notice the words, this kind of thing happened all the time. God has a history of giving out inside information. The Bible is a record of that, of foretelling the future, telling people things before they happen. Well, you may be thinking here, well, that's the prophet. And, you know, he was one of the special ones. So we know in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit came on the prophet, the priest, and the king. Well, you know, what does that have to do with me? Well, I want you to know that Jesus changed everything. Jesus changed all the rules. He changed all the rules about inside information. And now the believers. Any believers in here today? The believers are open to inside information. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, in verse 7, And I love reading John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, some great chapters there. But let's look at some verses here. John 16, verse 7, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It says this, "However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable." Everybody say profitable. Is it profitable to serve God?
Yes.
Not just talking about finances, but profitable for your body, profitable for your relationships, profitable for all the areas of your life. It is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous. I like that word. Who wants to hear? Who wants to have an advantage? For you that I go away. He's saying it was important that I go away, that I go to the cross, that I die, that I'm being raised on the third day. It's important. It's to your advantage. Disciples had a hard time grasping that at the time. And sometimes we have a hard time, you know, doesn't it make sense just to have Jesus here on the earth? But Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. How come? Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, in the Greek, it's the word paraclete. Your Bible may say helper. The Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Jesus changed all the rules. Instead of just one man or just a few men that the Holy Spirit is working with, now it's open to the whole body of Christ. Jesus broke the barrier between, you know, a fellowship with between God and man. And now it says the believer can come boldly to the throne to obtain mercy, to receive grace. We can talk to Him. He'll talk to us. And so it's to our advantage. It's to our profit. This word helper or comforter, again, is the Greek word paraclete. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And read these chapters. It's all about the Holy Spirit. And some of His functions, this is what He does in our lives. He's a comforter. He's a helper. He's an advocate. He pleads your case. He's an intercessor. Stands in the gap for you. He's a strengthener. He's a standby. And I'm going to add to this list, based on other things that you can read in these chapters of John, He's an encourager. He'll give you courage when you feel like fainting. He's a teacher. He'll teach you. He'll train you. He's an interpreter. Help interpret things in your life. Interpret Scripture. Interpret the things the Lord's saying to you. He's a transmitter. And that's where we're talking about inside information. He trans information from God to us. Paraclete means one that's called alongside to help. And you do a little study, what it means is He is another of the same kind. One beside Jesus, but in addition to Jesus. And just like Him. And He does in Jesus' absence what Jesus would do if He was physically here. And the beauty of it, and this is the big deal about it, the beauty of it is it's not just on the prophet, the priest, or the king, or a few special anointed one. We are now all special. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're special." We're special. The Holy Spirit can now come and live in us. God Himself, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit can now come and live on the inside of us. And He'll do every one of these functions and more in our lives. I was doing just a little study on the word, even the word comforter. And we have an idea of what comforter means, but I love this. The word comforter means courage to the faint-hearted, helps you cope with living in the earth. Helps you stand on your own two feet and face living in a fallen world. Comfort means helping you stand. Anybody going through something today? Anybody here going through a trial? Anybody going through a situation where some days it just seems like it's too much? Well, I have good news. The Comforter is here. He'll help you to stand. He'll give you courage. He'll give you strength. He'll help you not only make it, but He'll help you overcome. He'll help you be victorious. Let's continue on reading down verse 13. John 16, verse 13. It says, when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all the truth. I love that. Isn't that what we're seeking? Truth? I hope that's what you want. I want the truth and nothing but the truth. Guide you into the whole full truth. For He'll not speak His own message on His own authority. He will tell you whatever He hears from the Father. He will give you the message that has been given to Him. And He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. Everybody say inside information. This is legal insider trading. Show you the future. Show you things to come. Show you what to do. Guide you in the midst of the storm that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify Me because He will take of, receive, draw upon what is Mine. Now I love this. And will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit. We got a Holy Ghost email system. Holy Ghost text messaging. Holy Ghost cell phone on the inside. Instant messaging. The problem is, we're not listening. We're not hooked up. Cell service is turned off. You need to turn it on. You're not on the airplane. Turn it on, and you need to be texting Him and let Him text you. Who do you think that created all this technology? Who knows about transmitting and revealing things? And revealing things is removing the veil. Revealing things is bringing light in darkness. Revealing things is opening up our eyes. Don't you love revelation? Don't you love revelation of God's Word? Don't you love having read verses 15 times and still getting something new? That's revelation. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to reveal things. Reveal things from the heart of God. He doesn't want things to be a mystery to you. Well, God just works in mysterious ways. That's not the testimony of a faith person. He wants to reveal the mysteries. He wants you to be able to understand salvation, understand what you have, understand who you are in Christ, understand how faith works, understand how, you know, talking to God and Him talking to you, how it works. He wants you to know things. Everything that the Father has is Mine. This is Jesus talking. Everything that the Father has is Mine. And that is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are Mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. We have inside information. The Holy Spirit, God, wants us to have inside information. All throughout the book, He's showing us things. He wants us to know things. Now, this inside information, and then it involves a relationship, and the phrase that we use a lot of times for transmitting inside information is the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's core number 3. Learning to live by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And there's 2 primary ways that He does that. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. I tell you, this will really help you today. If you catch hold of this. You know, many have heard these things, but we can let them slip. Like all the things we talked about, who you are in Christ, living by faith, easy to let them slip. Any one of us, the best of us, have gotten comfortable, drawn back, taken some time off. Easy to do. Living on revelations from the past. Living on fumes. Your car will drive a little bit on fumes, but eventually it's going to stop. I don't want you living on fumes. I want you living on fresh revelation. Fresh words from God. So there's two primary ways that He leads us by the Holy Spirit. First one, Romans 8, verse 14, says this. Well, I mean, I'm just giving this. This is a verse about being led by the Holy Spirit. Let me say this first. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Be a son and daughter of God, that means you know who you are, what you have, what you can do. Child of God, you know that He, you know, you have an inheritance, all these things. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. And so His leading is something that we can learn about. His leading is something that we can grow in. His the leading of the Holy Spirit is something we can develop in, just like faith. And so there's two primary ways. The first one, same chapter, Romans 8, verse 16. It says this, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So the first way that He leads us is what we call the inward witness. Everybody say that, inward witness. The inward witness is where the Spirit of God helps you to know things. Inward witness is where the Spirit of God helps you to know things. Where you know it. I shared last week how I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm a child of God. I know that I'm His son. I know that I'm righteous. I know that I'm in Christ. I know these things. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I know it. The Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit. And so you know things. And it's things that aren't necessarily revealed to your senses. Have you ever had that happen where it seemed like in what you see, there's a situation going on and you shouldn't do something, but on the inside you feel like you should? You know what I'm saying? And you know to do something, even though your senses may tell you something different. That's what I'm talking about. That's the inward witness. Have you ever had a check about something? You ever had something on the inside where maybe it seemed everything seemed right, and it seemed like the right decision, but something on the inside just said, no, this is not right. I don't need to do that. How many know what I'm talking about today? How many here today had that knowing on the inside to do something and you didn't do it? How many had that knowing on the inside not to do something and you did it? Now let me ask you, how was the results? How's that working for you? And so He wants to get information to you, to us. And because there's times when, a lot of times, when circumstances will tell you something. And so many people are led by circumstances. They're led by the pros and the cons. And I understand, that's all they know. But there's situations that you face where the Lord has a different plan for you. I had a situation, and many of you heard this story before, but I had a situation, I was working as a controller up in Johnson, South Carolina for International Paper. And it was, you know, a pretty big plant, but there was other plants within the system that I was in, wood products. There was a much larger plant, could make more money, more employees, more benefits. But I had a good job, making good salary, good pay and all that. Well, they offered me a job at the Augusta plant. And making, again, more money, less travel. Instead of going 50 minutes one way, it'd be 25 minutes. I knew the operation. I knew the people. I'd have a bigger staff. You know, all these different things. So, just looking at the circumstances, I mean, the pros just was so much better. Looking at all these are the things. But you know what I decided to do? I did something pretty radical. I decided to pray about it. That's radical, isn't it? I'm one of those radical faith people. Do you know any of those people? I decided to pray about it because I've learned about decisions. I just don't do things based on the pros and cons. I may look at those different things and do all I can in the natural, but I don't go by that. I go by what is the Holy Spirit saying. A business person, looking on the inside, what's the Holy Spirit saying to me about this? And through a series of events, he said no. It wasn't a voice or anything that I heard. It was just something on the inside that said, I don't need to take that job. It was just a quench. It was just a red light. It was just like, it's not the right. You know what I'm talking about? It wasn't the right thing to do. And you know, so it's so funny because I remember that phone call. I'm calling my boss to tell him I'm turning down the job. He can't believe it and tries to talk me into it. He can't believe I'm turning down this job. It makes no sense. But little did he know that my job would, you know, we started the church. So I was doing the church and doing the job. He didn't know at that time that my job was going to, maybe he did. Maybe that's why he was trying to talk me into it. But my job was going to be eliminated. And I was able to walk away from International Paper with a 6-month severance package. Paid me to pastor for 6 months. Paid me more than when I worked there. See, my boss didn't have inside information. I didn't know all those things. I just knew I wasn't to take the job. It did not make sense to my mind. But I had a witness. A witness on the inside. Something that I knew. I had inside information. The way we heard about this building being for sale. We had been looking for, we were meeting at Augusta Prep and we had been on a stewardship campaign and looking to buy a building or buy land, and we're very frustrated, looked at every piece of property in the Augusta area. And we were just deciding about where to go for lunch. This is how basic it can be. We're deciding about going to lunch. Where do you want to go? Name different restaurants. And we came into agreement on Longhorns. It just seemed, that's what Acts 15 describes it. It seems right. One part says, it seems right, good to us, and good to the Holy Spirit. It just seems right. Well, it just seemed right for us to go to Longhorns. It wasn't our bellies, it was, you know. And so we were in agreement, we went over there, and so we're sitting in the booth, and I look over there and I see the former associate pastor of the church that was here. And I'm just being a friendly guy, and I go over there and talk to him, and he said, did you know that the building on Warren Road is for sale? Doop, doop, doop. See, little things, but we have to be open. We have to be open. We have to be sensitive. I don't know why it is, but some days we're more sensitive than others. And it certainly doesn't hurt our sensitivity by praying. It doesn't hurt our sensitivity by being in the Word. It doesn't hurt our sensitivity to be expecting God to show us things. And it certainly helps to know these things. I mean, how many people in the body of Christ, they don't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. I've been to those conferences. They know not one thing about the Holy Spirit. But we know. We had met Jim and Jan Newton, some people that we're working with now that went to Australia. We've gone to Australia to see them several times. They've been over here. We're working with them on the I Give Life course. When I first met them, you've heard the story. We were in Myrtle Beach at a meeting. Jim ministers. I go up to him after he ministers, and I'm just crying, and I can't speak to him, and just standing there like a blubbering idiot. Thank you, Susie. And ended up having just a little bit of contact with him. But I don't know if you remember this, Susie. When we were driving back to Augusta from Myrtle Beach, I said to her, we're going to have a relationship with Jim Newton. We're going to be connected. Nate, are we connected today? That was a knowing. That was a witness. That was the Holy Spirit trying to show us something. I've had that happen about a particular pastor one time. Happened to be someone that we were associated with. I was at the church, their church for a meeting, and just I told Susie back in the hotel room, I said, something's just not right with this church. Something's not right with this ministry. And I mentioned the money. And it wasn't, again, the Holy Spirit wasn't anything speaking to me. I didn't hear any voices or anything. It's just a sensing, just a knowing on the inside. Something is not right. I can't put my finger on it, but I just said it, the money. Little did I know that this pastor hadn't made a cash offering, cash deposit, in 6 years. That's a problem. That's illegal. I'm just saying that if we open ourselves to Him, and now He's not going to give you information about everybody. Sometimes people have a lot of fear about that. Well, they're going to reveal my sins. I mean, He's going to reveal what's pertinent and what's necessary for you to do His will and to do His plan. All right, the second way. Two primary ways. There's others, but I'm just going to talk about these. These are the primary ways. Is the inward voice. We call this the still small voice. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 says this. I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Now this is where the Holy Spirit, which is in you, right? And man is three parts, spirit, soul, and body. I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. Eddie, did you know that this is not all I am? You know there's a spirit on the inside. The real Matt Judd is a spirit man. Right. That when I die, this body will be placed in the ground. It's going to decay. It's going to turn to dust. But the real me is going to leave, depart. Going to go to either two places, heaven or hell. We have a lot of teaching now. They don't believe in hell. I just want to tell you today, there's a heaven, there's a hell. We're going to go to either one or the other places. Something you ought to study and find out about it because it's pretty important. But that's the spirit, man. And so the Holy Spirit is in our spirits, in us. And He transmits information. And He speaks. And He'll speak to our spirit. And then our spirit will speak to our minds. And we'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have had this happen so many times. And you've heard some of the stories. But this has happened a lot in my life in the last 30 years. It has saved me in so many different situations, in buying things, in doing things, in relationships, in decisions that I'm making, financial things. I mean, this is really just too many testimonies. One of the stories goes back to International Paper. I worked for Federal Paper Board, International Paper, and Federal Paper Board merged together. My job was being eliminated because they had offered me other jobs. I wasn't supposed to get a severance package. So I was going to be fired with no severance package. And, you know, just praying about it. They wanted me to move here and move there. I didn't want to move. We're pastoring the church. We're going to be in Augusta. And so I was just praying about it, just looking to the Lord. And, you know, just feeling the pressure. I mean, what are we going to do? My wife's pregnant and all the different things. But I was praying about it, and I heard these words. It wasn't an audible voice out here. It was on the inside. I heard these words. the human resources director doesn't know your situation. Call him and explain your situation. That's what I heard in here. Now, it's not me. I wasn't like trying to figure out what to do. I had done everything I knew to do in the natural. I was just praying about it. And I heard those words. And I've heard those words before about things. And so I've learned to listen. So what did I do? I obeyed what I heard. Called the human resource director for International Paper, a company of 88,000 people. He's up in New York. I called him, explained to him what I heard in the inside. Called to him and explained the situation. And he said, I can't promise you anything. At this point, you're not supposed to get it. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll look into your situation. Sure enough, within a few days, I get a call from him. You're going to get a 6-month severance package. Then he asked me, when do you want to leave? I said I want to leave January 3rd, because if I leave January 3rd, I'll get my first quarter bonus. I'll get all my vacation time for the next year, 3 weeks. That's pretty smart, isn't it? I mean, he asked me. I prayed for boldness too. I was just going to be bold. And he agreed. But that was the still small voice. Now I have a situation. We just got some new tires for the Suburban. Have you noticed? I just got some new tires for the because they're cool. No. Now, if I was talking rims, a lot of the young people, they would know, but it's the same old rims anyway. I got new tires. And I remember buying these tires because I had an inward witness to buy the tires. I had a knowing on the particular tire and model and everything I bought. Sure enough, these tires lasted for 83,000 miles. How many know that's pretty good? That's a pretty good purchase. When I went to talk to the tire people, I said, you owe me 23,000 miles. They were trying to get me to pay them money because like I had done something wrong. 83,000 miles on that tire. But you know how I knew to change them? So this is where I have the inward witness and the inward voice working in the same situation. I'm getting gas one day. I'm not going through any checklist about the car, you know, brakes, oil, you know, all the different things about. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just minding my own business and pumping gas. And I hear this on the inside, check the tires. I never check the tires. Unless my sensor in the car tells me the tires are low. The car tells me about the tires. Check the tires. And so I pump my gas. I get down, look at the tire, and I don't see anything on this tire, but I look through the other side of the car because the Suburban, it's really high up off the wheels. I can see the other side. I see something shiny over on the other tires. That's not good. There's metal exposed. It's about. So I had the inward witness to buy the tires, and the inward voice saved me from whatever. See, the Holy Spirit will make you look good. Now, I would love to stand here and say I have these things happening every day to me. They should be. And I've had them happen a whole lot in my life. But there's just some days I have the cell phone turned off. You ever have one of those days where you're just not open to any kind of transmissions? You have to be open. You have to be sensitive. I was on an escalator in Minneapolis one time for a trip up there, and we were dealing with the whole parking lot situation. The city of Augusta had done some work put a drain pipe in there and messed up our parking lot. Remember this, Gary? Well, they damaged our parking lot, did some serious damage, and they weren't going to fix it. And so I was looking at all the options. I had gotten a lawyer and trying to figure out what to do, and going through the whole process with him, and And so finally it comes down to, I'm on an escalator in Minneapolis and talking to the lawyer, and he's saying, we got to make a decision right now of what we're going to do. Right now. Of whether we're going to go forward with a legal case, which who wants to do that? Or do something else that was going to do. And I heard just on the inside, just like I heard about the tires, just like I heard about the job, just like I've heard on so many different situations, I heard on the inside, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. Meaning, don't worry about this lawsuit. And it didn't make sense because in the natural, it wasn't looking good. The last word I've got from the people, they're not going to do anything. They destroyed our parking lot. And they're not going to do anything. So I just said, okay, well, we're not going to pursue that route. Well, God took care of us. The Holy Spirit is so many things. He's your helper. He's your comforter. Standby. Strengthener. Encourager. And he wants to get inside information today. But I mean, the question is, first of all, do we even know it? And secondly, let me ask you this. Are you even listening? Do you even care? I mean, so many times we just want to do our own thing. And he's got a better way today. Sean, why don't you come up? Ask Sean to share some testimonies along these lines. And Sean, just whatever, Lord.
Okay.
Go with it, man.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind, if I've learned anything about the Holy Spirit, is he's not one to be contained. And what I mean by that is, he's not a pet that we take out of a box and play with. And we do that. We're all guilty of that. Susie said last Sunday morning, talking about human nature and about how we all turn to God and we need something, you know. And I was guilty of that about a month ago. The company that I work for is a DOD contractor, and they came to us. I'm going to get out of the light a little bit. Anyways, they came to us, and they sat us all down. They said, government's making cuts. Facts are facts. Government's making cuts. And we got some change coming, and the government has come out with this new thing called the lowest price technically acceptable on bids. And September's end of fiscal year. That's when a lot of contracts get renewed. So they said lowest price technically acceptable. And just to explain to you what that basically is as long as a company can produce resumes of people that are qualified, we don't care how much experience they have, as long as they're qualified and you got the lowest bid, you win the contract. In times past, it was a lot more subjective than that. They looked at experience. They looked at recommendations from incumbents and things like that, or from the government leads working with the incumbents. So it was a lot more to it in the past, but the government said, you know, facts are facts. We're limited money. This is what we got to do. If a company comes to us with a bid, it's the lowest bid, and they can provide people that are qualified, then we're going to take it, and they're going to win the contract. Well, the company that I work for is very people-oriented, and they want to keep people employed. Some of you in the contractor business, you may have worked with companies that didn't always work that hard to keep people employed. Their jobs, you know, win the contract, make the money, and then move on. So anyways, he sat us down. He said, because of that, we've got to get aggressive in our pricing. And I'm just telling you right now, there's going to be cuts. We're going to have to cut some employees out of our overhead. We're going to have to cut pay. So what did I do at that point? I said, hey, it's time to start working my words again. And the Holy Spirit did stir inside of me. Hey, I'm just being real with you. I'll admit it. Everybody here's done that. But I said, you know, but thank God I knew what to do. Thank God I'm part of the Good News Church. And I had gotten comfortable, got a little bit cold. But, you know, I talked with Kathy. I said, you know, we're going to change what we say, and we're going to start saying more of what we should be saying. And we started. And we did it, and we were faithful. And so it was a little over a month ago when he told us that, but over that time we built our faith, and you know, the time came last week Well, a couple weeks ago, they laid some people off, and I wasn't one of them, thank God. And then the time came last week, we found out we won the contract. Well, during that time, everybody's thinking, well, and here's how it goes. If we win the contract, we're going to get a pay cut. If we don't win the contract, hopefully the company that wins the contract will offer us the job. But guess what? That means they won the low bid. I'm still going to get a pay cut. So the time came, we won the contract. Everybody's happy. You know, at least we get to stay with the same company. We get vacation time benefits to keep going and stuff like that. But the pay cuts are coming. And they sent out an email, you need to call, set up an appointment, come in and talk to us about salary and things like that. So, you know, Kathy and I, we kept our words working. That our needs are met. God takes care of us super abundantly. Okay? All that good stuff, right? So, I went in. I was the first one to call them. I said, hey, I want to get in. So I went in at 7:45 in the morning. Because I'm expecting good. I go in and sit down, and they said, first off, I could tell both my boss and the vice president, they were troubled with this. It was stressing them. You hate to do that to people. And he was talking about football, small talk, just trying to lead in and get, you know. And, of course, they're worried about people breaking down. They're worried about people quitting. They're worried about people getting mad. And I just felt like they needed to be comforted. Now, so I was telling him about this. I said, here I am fixing to get a pay cut, but I'm going to comfort them. And I told him, I said, listen, it's okay. It's going to be okay. My God's going to take care of me. And I just watched the burden lift off of them. I said, my God's going to take care of me. So, then the small talk was over. You know, he's just like, okay. And it was a burden lifted off of both of them. And he said, well, here's what we're doing for you, Sean. He slid it's an offer letter, and he slid the offer letter across the table, and I had a choice to accept or not. And he said, and this is, you know, we're taking you from this amount to this amount. Wasn't a lot of money. What I mean, the reduction wasn't a lot. And it wasn't near as bad as the rumors were. And I said, that's not a problem. I said, it's really not a problem. It's going to be fine. And then he told me this, and this is Pastor Matt and I were talking about this, and this is why he wanted me to get up and share. He said, well, Sean, yours is probably the smallest cut. Well, if you know me, I'm very optimistic about a lot of things. I just got a pay raise in my eyes. You know, and so if you're sitting there thinking, well, don't judge me. Don't sit there and think, well, you should have had your faith for a pay raise instead of a pay cut. Well, in my eyes, that was a pay raise. And here's why. Because I got the smallest cut. Now, why did I get the smallest cut? This is where this conversation started. About 10 years ago, I work in the IT industry. And 10 years ago, these things called certifications were nothing. And there's a good many people in here that are in the military or have worked for the military. Certifications are everything now. But 10 years ago, they weren't anything. And I was new in my career, not brand new. I've been in this business 17 years now. But I said, I think I'm going to get this certification. I even went to my boss and said, I'm going to get this certification. He said, you don't need that. You don't need that. And it wasn't just Sean thinking that, because I pray on a regular basis on how to build my career. On what steps to make, you know, and I read a book a long time ago by Kenneth Hagin, Being Led by the Holy Spirit, and I remember reading stories in there about different people who made wise career choices and things like that. And the Holy Spirit leads me into that, and I didn't really know. I was no expert in that in that area. I just felt like, okay, felt like he said, I just felt like I should get a certification and this particular certification. And my boss was, he told me two or three times, he said, you don't need that. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to pay you good. You don't need that certification. But I felt like I needed it. So I pursued it. And the pastors remember, and Eddie and Carol remember, that's about 10 years ago, I started back to school, and I spent a lot of time and a lot of work getting that certification. And this was, I'm going to give you the punchline. It was really all because of the Holy Spirit. Let's jump forward back to now. He said to me, Sean, the only reason I didn't cut you as much as everybody else is because you have some unique qualifications that a lot of these other people don't have, and you're valuable to us. And I want that to encourage you, because oftentimes we tend to overanalyze things, and we tend to get the lists and do these studies and things like that. You know, and while I was sitting there listening, something came to mind. I think it was Carol that this was years ago in what I call the hard seat sanctuary that taught one night on getting out of your head. It might have been you. It was one of you two. Anyways, about getting out of your head. And they had an altar call, and the whole church came up. There was only like 12 of us at the time, but the whole church came up. And I really wish I could remember which, but whoever it was laid hands on me and said, Sean, shut your brain off. Shut your brain off. And if I could give you one thing to remember about the Holy Spirit, it's that. Our minds get in the way. And so a month ago when they said we're making cuts, my mind started going. And I said, no, wait a minute, it's time to shut down. You know, it's pretty simple. Let's don't complicate it. I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to do what I've been taught to do. And it's almost mechanical, which is okay, because that's what I've been taught to do. So we started saying, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And, you know, I told him yesterday, it's the first time in my life I ever got excited about a pay cut. But here's the thing that we got to keep in mind is that what excited me was that God, my word's been working for a month now, and longer in a lot of areas, but really serious, we got serious about it. God is going to take care of me, and that's what I told my bosses. I said, God's going to take care of me. It's okay. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, that's a pay cut, and thinking about yourself and your own situation, how would I handle a pay cut? I don't limit God to my paycheck to start with, and I've been onto that fact for a long time. All right? So I get out of the meeting, I call Kathy, and I said, well, you know, it's this much, and that's not bad, that's nothing. God's going to take care of us. We started working our words again, and Kathy, you know, she's in agreement with me. You know, she's saying the same, that we're saying stuff back and forth to each other there on the phone. And I said, God will make that up. It's not big, God will make that up. Isn't that what I said? And what did you say? I can't remember. Yeah. So just to test her, I said, not to test her, but to locate her, just to make sure we're synced up. I said, well, I could double up on work, because I have a side business in IT. Some of y'all know that. And I said, I could double up on work. And she said, that's not going to work. Right there. She said, that's not going to work. And I said, yeah, we just going to believe God. And she said, well, you know, what do we want? And I said, well, you know, God does bless me through my business. I believe he's going to give me business, but I don't believe I'm going to have to work twice as hard. I believe it's going to be something that's going to have more profit for less work. That's what I said, more profit for less work. Before the end of the day, a guy called me who I helped get started in business a few years back. A guy I trained in IT, helped him get his own business started. He called me before the end of the day. Sean, I got a big job. I need your expertise on this job. I'm not going to be a lot of work on your part. It's going to be good money. That's before the end of the day. So the Holy Spirit... And Pastor Matt's really the one pointing out, because I was telling him all the stuff and all that stuff, and he's the one that pointed out to me. He says, Sean, that's because of way back when you listened to God about where to go with your career. So he knows way in advance. I didn't know, and I don't know 10 years from now exactly. I know where my words are going to take me, but I don't know the exact details of it, and he does. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Praise God. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Sean. Wow. That's really awesome. I was just thinking when they were sharing how last November we were sitting here one night in a meeting, a special meeting that Nate and Kristen and Matt and I had for us, and said y'all could come if you wanted, just to encourage ourselves. And the Lord spoke to me based on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, which he will often do. He'll often bring what we've heard to our remembrance. He will speak to us from the word and quicken it and remind you, my God shall supply all your need. You know, he actually speaks in line with his word. And he said to me, based on the message of, message version of, 2 Corinthians 9:8, where he said, I will bless you, that God can bless us in astonishing ways so that we'll have what we need and not just be ready to do what needs to be done, but even more. And he said that to me, I'm going to bless you in astonishing ways. And at that moment, I couldn't figure it out. It didn't make any sense. But what ended up happening is within 3 months, bam, God began to bless us in astonishing ways. And things that we had no clue could, they weren't even on the horizon. They were not even possible. They don't make human sense. They don't. That's still, I'm in the middle of it. It's completely unreasonable. But God is blessing us in astonishing ways. And he does that. He is so good. He is so good. So let this just be an encouragement for all of you here today, that wherever you are and what's going on, I know it's kind of been, I feel like maybe some people have situations going on with their jobs or are going to. I really love the practicality of what we've heard today, because this isn't just about some spiritual matter. You know, we all have jobs. Most of us have a job and we work. God's interested in where we work and what happens during those hours where you're not at church or at home. The Holy Spirit isn't limited to speaking to you just about, you know, a spiritual matter or just about being a witness for him, even though he does that. He's very good at dealing with you in your career. I love that. I've always been led by the Holy Spirit in my career. Isn't that awesome? For some of you, that's a revelation today. You never even thought about that. Well, take hold of it today. Praise God. Gary, you got something? Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit who's been given. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our counselor, our standby. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for your help and your aid and your support in our lives. Thank you so much. And Father, I pray for the people here. I pray for all of us that our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, that they'll be flooded with light so we can see what we haven't seen, so that we can have revelation about how you work with us and how you work.